Hello, welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading A Burning by Megha Majumdar. Mm. But first, book news, and we have quite a lot. So the novel prize winner has been announced, and this is an international prize, and it's a $10,000 US prize, so quite significant. And it has been won by Jessica Au for her novel Cold Enough for Snow. So Jessica Au's an Australian author. Mm. And then that will be published by Giramondo and Fitzcarraldo. And Fitzcarraldo is the publisher that does those beautiful blue, I've seen them in blue, but they're just a plain colour editions, and then the title, like really simple covers.
Yeah, beautiful.
So that will be one to look out for. And also just a follow-up news item from our Sorrow and Bliss episode. And this doesn't surprise me because we found there was just so much to talk about with that book. We had the Fleabag vibes. We had the Eleanor Oliphant vibes. It is being adapted for screen. So that has the rights have been bought for film and TV.
Yeah.
So it's not clear whether, so will it be a,
I reckon
which
it would
one?
Make a better show, like a TV show.
Yeah.
Because I think you want to get into all of those.
I agree.
Nitpicky, you know, and yeah. Oh, I can just imagine it. That sounds really fun.
Yeah. So we're here for that. And the Andrew Carnegie Medal for Excellence, those winners have been announced. And this is topical because A Burning, which we're doing today, was shortlisted but didn't win. The winner for fiction was Deacon King Kong by James McBride. Mm. So I haven't heard of that.
It was getting really good reviews in the US. It came out mid last year, so I think it was a tricky time to come out. From my very vague memory, a kind of Martin Luther King style character comes up through in US politics, but maybe a little bit more contemporary.
I think that does ring a bell that it was set in the late 60s, I could be wrong. So we might need to add that to our list.
Yeah,
we'll have a look.
That sounds great.
And let us know if you've read Deacon King Kong, because should we read it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's got a good cover. Fun. Yeah. And then the nonfiction prize has been won by another Australian author, Rebecca Giggs, for her book Fathoms, which is, I haven't read yet, but is in my bookshelf of to reads, and is the subtitle is The World in the Whale. And it sounds like my favourite kind of book, where she looks at whales and ecosystems surrounding them in the ocean. Can't wait to read it.
This would have been good when you did your diving holiday.
I know. I actually couldn't find it among the piles, hence why I've had to get a new bookshelf.
Yes. So Annie's just got a new bookshelf. This is very exciting.
It is. And yeah,
which is already mortifying. Is it full, basically?
Half full.
Yeah. Oh, that's good if you have space. And also the Folio Prize shortlist has been announced, and this is another significant prize. It's £30,000 and it is the Rathbones Folio Prize for fiction or nonfiction, and it's an international prize. So on the shortlist are Handiwork by Sara Baum, Indelicacy by Amina Kane, As You Were by Elaine Feeney, Poor by Caleb Feeney, My Darling from the Lions by Rachel Long, In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado, which I have just bought coincidentally, so I might need to move that up on my pile, and A Ghost in the Throat by Doreen Nigriofa, and The Mermaid of Black Conch by Monique Roffey, which just won the Costa Book of the Year award. Mm. So that's doing really well.
Yeah, still not out here.
And I'm still not convinced that I can read a mermaid book. But there you go. We will obviously keep that on our radar because it's...
I'll probably read it. I'll let you know.
Yeah, Annie will let us know. And so now on to our book of the week, A Burning by Megha Majumdar. And we picked this partly because Megha Majumdar's coming to Adelaide Writers Week in a couple of weeks.
Via the miracle of the internet. But yes, she is going to be attending. So I'm really interested to hear her talk about this. Megha Majumdar was born and raised in Kolkata. She moved to the US to go to university when she was 19. She went to Harvard and then went to grad school at Johns Hopkins to do social anthropology, which I think is really interesting if you've read this book. She now works in New York as an editor at Catapult. So A Burning is Megha's first novel. It's been an NYT bestseller, and Yagi Yazi is on the cover saying it's excellently crafted, utterly thrilling, a stunning debut. The story is about Jivan, who is a young Muslim girl. We never know how old she is, but I'd say 18 or 19. And she is walking home as a terrorist incident occurs in her local train station. So the train station of Kolobagan. Some men throw burning rags into the train and set it on fire. There may also be a bomb. It's never really clear. She runs away from the scene and comes home smelling of smoke and then posts on Facebook. She says, if the police didn't help ordinary people like you and me, if the police watched them die, doesn't that mean the government is also a terrorist? In the absence of any other culprits, the police of the Indian state seize her and take her into custody. This kind of media beat up and political beat up surrounds her as a Muslim woman. You also get the story of Lovely, who's a Hijra, and so that's a segment of Indian society of transgender women who are both looked upon as kind of very lucky but also scorned in many other social aspects. So Lovely has dreams of becoming a Bollywood superstar, and so she's attending an acting course. So, and she is being tutored in English by Jivan because she thinks she needs it to become the biggest star possible. She's a gorgeous character. And then we have PT Sir, who was Jivan's phys ed teacher at school. She put in a lot of effort in her phys ed classes, and so PT Sir really enjoyed her as a student. He helped her. He could see that she wasn't getting enough food at home and kind of helped out just giving her a banana or an apple when she would be in his class. But he feels spurned because when she decided to leave school in class 10 to help out her family and kind of go to work, he feels like she didn't give him the adequate respect or recognition of his role in helping her. He goes along to a rally and kind of becomes invigorated by this nationalist spirit. He gets a red dot on his forehead and then gets a bit more respect on the train home. And so he rises through the ranks as the trial of Jivan is going ahead. It comes out that he was her teacher and he ends up going to testify as well in court. So, yeah, it's quite a compulsive read, a real page turner, I found it. The scenes really whip along because you're jumping between these three perspectives and there's this real issue of injustice at the heart of it. You really race through it. What did you think, Anna?
Yes, I loved it. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it is compulsive and it was a book I kept wanting to come back to and I wanted to see what happened. And I think she paced it very well because the tension builds up and it's sometimes that they don't sustain that pace, but I think she's sustained it beautifully and indeed it gets better and better, I think. So I really enjoyed it and I loved the characters. I think that was the highlight. Jivan, who starts off as the protagonist in the sense that she instigates the story and it revolves around her trial. And so in that sense, she is the central character. But as it goes on, P.T. Sir, the teacher, and Lovely, the Hijra Bollywood wannabe actress, become equally important, and I think she does that beautifully as well. So I think they're complex characters. They're three-dimensional characters because they're all flawed in different ways. And P.T. Sir, for example, is very mediocre sort of man, and then he's got the status anxiety, and so for that reason, he's a little bit susceptible to corruption or to the glitter of politics as he sees it. And so he's very flawed, but also on the other hand, he has been kind to Jivan in the past, and you do see those aspects of him and the fact that he's not just a completely bad, you know, he's not a bad person, more than just a weak person.
He's being used, I think.
So I think she does that really well, just creates those characters that are so believable. They really feel like you can totally picture him, can't you? Just exactly that sort of person winding up in politics in, you know, in any country, really. And then you have Lovely, who is just fabulous.
She's amazing.
And again, just like people you know who are sort of refreshingly honest and you know, living their best life despite a lot of hardships. They just survive and don't whinge about, you know.
She seems like a really simple and pure person, you know. She just has this dream that might be a bit pedestrian, but, you know, she's really going for it, and she obviously has a bit of talent as well. So
yeah, so
really
she's
rooting for her.
You find yourself really being on her side. And then Jivan, of course, is really interesting as well, because you do start to find out, well, what is her story, and obviously that's the main tension of the book is what will happen to Jovan, and that's sustained really well. Yeah. So I loved that. The characters. I've completely believed in the characters, so I really wanted to know what happens to each of them, and I think she did it with a light touch. So there's a lot of serious issues in this book. There's politics, there's poverty, there's injustice, as you say, there's the fact that Jovan's a Muslim, so there's religious tensions, there's all sorts of things, and yet she just touches on them in a very light way. They feel organic to the story. Mm. It never feels as if she wants to, you know, that she's written a book because she wants to, you know, talk about issues, as some, I think some books are too heavy-handed. Mm. So they're very much just organic to the story.
And I think because,
you know, lightly done with a sense of humour.
Yeah, exactly,
as well.
Because you get this, you get put into each of these characters' lives and you see their little jokes and their everyday and the joy in their lives. I think she's really trying to present that picture of India of, you know, these are people from very different social classes living very different lives, but they still manage to live with joy and sadness and all of that.
That's what I loved as well, that she'll portray Jovan's family, for example, who live in a slum, and yet the story you get of them is they're a family just like you or me, where they're trying to, you know, cook something nice for dinner, they're trying to go to work and sort of care for each other in the sense that any family might do anywhere in the world, really. Mm. But so she gives them real humanity
and dignity.
Yeah. And I really liked that. Mm. It's very poignant, actually, some of the scenes with Jovan and her mother, for example, which we won't spoil, but there's some, they feel very true.
Mm.
Whilst you become more aware of the poverty and you have a real sense of what that might be like for them and the injustice of it and the fact that the government doesn't really do anything about it and so on, the real complacency in the government levels. But it also, she just shows you they're just people, you know, they're people like you or me who are trying to live their best life, trying to survive. They don't want to be concerned with politics. Mm. They, you know, they just want to have a drink of clean water and go to work or go to school, ideally.
Yeah. And have their health protected.
And have their health, be able to see a doctor, all of those things. So I thought that was beautifully done and very real.
On the universality of it, I was reading an interview with Majumdar and she made a direct link between Hindu nationalism and the rise of white supremacy in the US and other places around the world. And I think you could supplant this story. Obviously there are really specific cultural elements to it, but I think the bones of the story could be happening in lots and lots of places around the world. It feels really relevant, really fresh. And I think the simplicity of the story, you know, told through those three key people, but also other, you know, you get the lawyer's point of view and you get the journalist's point of view, but you can pick it up and move it around because, those people exist in all cultures and in all communities. The people who are striving and the people who are going to be crushed.
And those very occasional vignettes from the journalist or one or two other characters' points of view, which she doesn't do very many of, but just enough to flesh out the story a bit. And it's almost like a nod to the reader or a sort of sly wink to the reader, like a confidential sort of aside, isn't it? With that sense of humour. So, no, I really loved it. And I thought the politics felt very real, the way that, Jovan's case would be dealt with. So whilst all of that is quite dramatic, you could also imagine it happening.
Mm.
And the way that Bimala and the Nationalist Party deals with it, it's just a problem that needs to be fixed, which felt very, unfortunately, very true, that they take such a pragmatic approach and it's obviously a self-interested approach. And you can see how corruption just becomes part of the culture. When you see how it works on PT Sir, it gives you a sense of how that just starts to feed through and become a cultural thing and become accepted as the norm. So his character arc is really interesting. The tone of the writing is what I really loved as well, just that light touch and the focus
taut,
on
isn't it?
Yeah, it's taut and it's her, it's the story that is first and foremost,
yep.
and then everything else just makes it richer and more layered and more moving.
And I think it doesn't talk down to you as the reader. I think it expects you to kind of have a base knowledge of how the world works and specifically India. It's the best kind of American writing where you don't really notice the writing, and that is a skill in itself.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's my favourite sort of thing.
Yeah, you just cruise through. I mean, I read this in an afternoon. It was really, I just sat on the couch and totally got sucked into this world, and then came out and did keep thinking about it for, you know, several days afterwards. I just kept going back to poor Jeevan and...
Yeah, it's very vivid, isn't it? You do feel like you're there.
Yeah.
So, and she does that just with, you know, she has a great eye for detail, but she doesn't burden you with all these details. It'll be a bit of scenery here or a bit of food there, or something they're eating just along the way, the smells of the market or something.
Yeah.
It's just dropped in enough to really build up the sense of place.
I think you can tell that she's an editor herself.
Yes, but then she pairs it back.
Yeah.
So wonderful book. I recommend it.
Yeah, great. Mm.
So we loved that. That was unanimous. A Burning by Megan Majumdar, that was. And looking forward to hearing her speak at Adelaide Writers Week shortly. Coming up next, we've had a fail because we were going to read Alexis Wright and I haven't been able to find the right book that we were reading. So we're going to do that in a couple of weeks once I've been able to get myself organised.
Yep.
Yes. So next up we'll be reading Exciting Times by Neisha Dolan. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
It?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, so this was very buzzy last year and partly set in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this one.
Yep. Comparisons to Sally Rooney.
And she is also coming to Adelaide Writers Week.
She is.
Yes. Wonderful. So stay tuned for that. And if you are not in Adelaide and can't come to Adelaide Writers Week, they've announced that they are doing 12 sessions that will be live streamed into your homes.
Mm.
So if you check out the Adelaide Writers Week or Adelaide Festival website and look up the curated dozen, I think it is, you will be able to join us virtually.
Yes.
So that's exciting. So exciting times indeed.
See what I did there? Yep.
Yes. So in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go or email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at Mr. _Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.